So this morning's message is overcoming the fear factor in our lives. And I want to open up with a story. It's a personal story of a friend of mine whose father passed away when the father was 58 years old. He passed away of a heart attack. And my dear friend lived in fear as he approached his 50th birthday, and then following that he was going to experience the same fate as his father. And he was petrified over it. If he had gas, he thought a heart attack was coming on. Indigestion. And it was a terrible way for him to live his life, to live in that kind of fear. I'm happy to report that he's 65 today and he's doing fine. But fear is real when it grips us. For whatever reason, it grips our heart, it grips our mind, it grips our spirit when we live in a state of fear. Some people fear the dark. I had an uncle, my wife knows, he was afraid to ride in an elevator. And so he would always take the stairs, no matter how many floors he had to climb, because he felt claustrophobic in an elevator. When I was in seminary, I traveled to Israel for the first time to do a study over there for 1 month. And I traveled with another seminarian who was deathly afraid of flying. He feared that the plane was going to crash. He never flew before. His doctor gave him a sedative, and he was biting his nails from JFK to Tel Aviv. He was just so fearful that something was going to happen to the plane. And no matter how I tried to calm him down. There are some people that are in fear of failure. Maybe something was spoken over their lives when they were young. And they never launch out to try something that they could be successful in, because they're afraid of failing. I know people that are petrified over COVID. Now, I'm not making light of COVID. It's a serious thing that's going on in the world today. But I see people with those commercial filtration masks on, like something out of a sci-fi movie. And they're just fearful that something's going to happen in their own lives. And I think we need to be cautious. I'm not making light of it. But, you know, there are some fears that are actually healthy. Like, I would be afraid to put my hand in a tank filled with piranhas, wouldn't you? Or, I'm always fearful that I'm going to get stopped for speeding. My wife says, slow down. I have the fear of getting a ticket. And I think I shared this once before, but there was this woman in Wisconsin who kept asking the police to monitor the speeders on her block because children were crossing to go to school, and she never got a response. So she was clever enough. She actually got in her car and she stuck a hairdryer out the window. And they thought it was radar. You talk about an ingenious woman. There she was. You know, and they would automatically slow down because they were afraid of, by the way, that's Myung Cha's hairdryer because I don't need one. But you know, there's this thing in the Bible that Barbara just read. I like the New King James Version a little bit better. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? Because fear paralyzes us. Like deer caught in the headlights. God doesn't want us to live our lives that way. It hinders us from doing things that God always intended for us to do and for being who God always intended us to be. So I want to cut to the chase. I want to deal with this whole idea of the fear factor. And there is a fear factor going on. You know, there's something the contemporary church doesn't like to talk about. And I understand why, but it's no excuse. They never want to talk about spiritual warfare. They don't want to talk about spiritual warfare. It sounds too spooky. It sounds like a Hollywood sci-fi movie, you know, and it's sad that it's not preached about much, because I want to tell you something. There is an enemy of God, Satan, and that's exactly where he wants to live. He wants us to live in a place where we don't believe he exists. And that is an unfortunate position that many churches take, that he's some kind of mystical, imaginary being that belongs in a fairy tale. And it's unfortunate, because I do believe, friends, there's a danger in thinking that way. I believe there is spiritual warfare going on every single day. Last week, I decided to dust off a book on my shelf. I hadn't read it since seminary, I think. I read C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. Has anyone ever read that? He wrote that in 1941, and I swear it could have been written today. And it's about Uncle Screwtape, who's like a senior management demon, who writes to his nephew, Wormwood, and instructing him how to get somebody to turn away from their faith and turn away from God. All these little, you know, weak points, kinks in the armor, if you will. And I thought to myself, I realize it's a fiction, but it's so true, because Satan loves for us to be fearful and live our lives fearful. It's the enemy of God wants us in that position, because when we're fearful, we're doubtful, and when we're doubtful, we tend to wane in our faith position. It's an entranceway, I think, for the enemy to get in when we live in fear. He could penetrate, and we got to be mindful of that. I once was mentoring a retired NYPD detective, and he had told me that he had a call in his life to go to seminary to be an ordained minister, but he was so fearful that he could not keep up with the academics in a theological setting. He thought it was over his head, and yet I told him 1,000 times he had all the tools that God had given him to be successful in his seminary training. And yet, he never pursued and fulfilled what God had planned for his life. You see, there's many people today, friends, who feel, for whatever reason, that I'm not good enough. Maybe it was spoken over their lives as a kid. Maybe a parent told them this, or a teacher. And they get this understanding that they're not good enough. They're not smart enough. They're not able enough. And that fear hinders them from stepping into their true faith that God always saw them to be. And so the Apostle Paul, he says to young Timothy, who, by the way, is a young minister, maybe early 20s, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but rather what? Power. Now think about that. What God is telling us is that he provides us the power in Jesus Christ to accomplish anything that God put on your heart to pursue. Woo-hoo. Nothing's too difficult for him. Remember that. Have you ever been through a trial? Have you ever had a situation where things look bleak? But we rest on the understanding that God is all-powerful and God could handle it. If God called us to do something, he'll give us the tools to carry it out. I love what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do in Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things. It says, not I could do some things, I could do all things. When I was a pastor in Hamden, Connecticut many years ago, I took a couple of courses at the Pear College of Art. It's a pretty good school that prepares people to enter into illustration and, you know, the commercial business of art. And after a while, I got to know the president of the college. It's not a very big college. It's in New Haven. They would ask me to come and do the invocation at graduations. And there was a very interesting testimony by one of the graduating students. When he was in high school and told his art teacher that he wanted to pursue a career in art, she said, "You don't have what it takes. Pursue something else." So he put together a portfolio. He applied to the school. He got in. 4 years later, he was recruited by Walt Disney Productions as an animator. And I thought to myself, and there was a girl who also got recruited by Walt Disney to be an animator. And I thought, and I got to talk to the kid after graduation, and he also happened to be a real strong Christian. And I thought to myself, here's a kid that didn't allow a teacher in high school to speak something over his life that God never intended. And he would not allow fear to paralyze him in his pursuit. Psalm 139:14 says, "We are wonderfully made, and God takes great pleasure in our success." Don't you want your, if you have children, don't you want your kids to succeed? I mean, you do, right? As a parent, you or grandparent, you do. Well, our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed as well. He cares about us. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are made perfect in our weakness. Why? Because once we acknowledge that we're weak, I don't mean timid, or he says once we acknowledge that we're weak and we can't do this on our own, then we submit to an all-powerful God to take over and carry us the rest of the way. Folks, that's the way it works. That's the way we don't become anxious about anything. And that's what God desires for us. So Paul tells us, don't take on a spirit of fear. With God's help, we can handle anything that comes down the pike in our lives. And I know many of you have struggled or are struggling through some serious stuff. Again, I emphasize in my messages, I don't make light of stuff that you might be going through. And so God gives us power. And then he says he gives us a spirit of love. And I thought to myself, my wife and I were discussing this not last night, but the night before, and my wife said something very interesting to me. She says, "The more I fall in love with God, the less fear I have about life." Why? Because when you fall in love with God, you put your trust in God. It's a intimate relationship. It's not some casual thing that we do for an hour on Sunday morning. We put our trust in Him. When I remember that God supplies all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, my fear subsides. When I think about the 23rd Psalm where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I believe we serve Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I hope so. I love Proverbs 3:6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will make your path straight." There's that word trust when you have a loving relationship. There's probably no one on earth that I trust more than my wife, because I know she always has my best interests at heart. Always. I could be very honest with her, and I know she cares. And so when we have a relationship like that in a marriage, think about a relationship with God in the same way. It is a marriage. Remember, you are the bride of Christ, the church. Amen?
Amen?
And so Paul tells us in our text that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us power. He's given us love. And I like this last one, because I might fail in this area: a sound mind. Sometimes I am the most mindless guy in the world. You know, my wife will say, she'll shake her head. She goes, "I can't believe you just did that." But a sound mind, which means discipline and self-control, that our mind is sharp. Because when we get involved, friends, with the wrong thinking, or as my pastor used to say, stinking thinking, when that gets in our heads and our mind isn't sound, all kind of things could go on in our heads that will act out in our behavior. The Bible says that when we turn our lives over to Christ, He renews our mind. We have new minds, the mind of Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. You know, Romans 12 says that we should no longer act like the world acts. We're different. Not better, just different. Because we don't put our trust in ourselves or even others. We put our trust in the Lord. And that takes away our fear. And it takes away our worries. And it takes away our doubt. And it takes away our confusion. When we're confused about making a decision, do I do A or B or none of the above? Just remember this. If God cares about the sparrow, a little tiny bird, how much more do you think He cares about you, created in His image? Now, in closing, I don't want to give anybody the impression that not having fear means we live reckless and foolishly, right? You remember my friend whose father died when he was 58? I would not suggest that my friend not watch his diet, not go for regular checkups and EKGs, that he would, you know, not exercise. That would be total foolishness to just say, you know what, I'm trusting in the Lord and I'm just going to let myself go and have 4 bagels every morning. It's foolishness. Remember, God has also given us wisdom. That's what a sound mind is. There's a balance there. It's not just blind walk off the cliff and expect God to catch you. It's using wisdom, but yet trusting in God. And so when God's Word becomes part of our DNA, friends, we begin to have that sound mind. When I see people go into a panic or a tailspin, it is usually because they have not claimed the power, the love, and the sound mind that Paul speaks of in this passage this morning. Overcoming the fear factor in our lives is not a matter of self-determination or self-ability. It's a matter of trusting and depending on God in all of our ways. It's a matter of trusting on His promises in His Word. It's a matter of taking possession of His gifts. It's a matter of receiving His grace, His unmerited favor. Friends, with His power, with His love, with the sound mind that He gives us in Christ, we can do all things to overcome our fears. Yes, even our fears. What are you fearful of this morning? Some of you are going through a battle this morning. I don't know what it is. You're struggling with something. And some of you are not. But I guarantee you every Sunday morning, there's somebody in the church that's going through a difficult time. I want you to realize that when you go through that battle, God is right there with you, pushing you through. You know, somebody says to me, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. And I go, stop. You're going through. You're not going to stay there. God will carry you through. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning, you know, it's, with these abbreviated services, you know, we don't have the time that we used to have. And I get that with COVID and all the protocols. But Lord God, I pray a special prayer over anybody here this morning that's struggling. Whatever it is, medical, relational, spiritually speaking, financial, whatever a person might be struggling with today, hear their cries, hear their pleas. As they trust in you, you'll guide them along the way and make that crooked path straight. And we ask all of this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.